Welcome to Apple at Work, podcast all about Apple and the enterprise. My name is Bradley Chambers, your host. This week we have Ari Leviathan from iMazing. Ari, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Bradley. Thanks for inviting me.
So for our listeners that don't know you, can you give us just a background and overview of what the team at iMazing does and what your role is there?
Of course. iMazing is the best all-around iOS and basically iPhone and iPad data manager. It gives you the power to manage the data on your device. And when I say data, I mean photos and music and contacts and messages way beyond anything that the first party tools allow you. There's been a lot of use from the consumer side, or rather we've had a lot of success on in the consumer market. And recently we're pushing into enterprise as well, as we're probably going to talk about in a few minutes. But just to give your listeners who are not aware or not familiar with iMazing a little bit of an idea, I'll use an example that you wrote about recently, which is music. You wrote about how you're using iPod to disconnect and to listen to your music offline. iMazing, for example, allows you, and I'm encouraging you to try that too, to manage the music on your iPod way more easily. And I do that myself. You know, I, for different reasons, there's music that you can't really get through streaming. So I use iMazing on my computer to manage the music on my iPhone, and I use Doppler on the device itself to listen to this music. This is one of the more popular data sets that we allow to manage, but iMazing pretty much gives you access to everything that iTunes used to give and way more.
You know, when I think about, you know, like how an Apple IT team would use iMazing, I look at it as like a Swiss Army knife tool. Like, it's like, okay, you got a device maybe in a weird state. You're trying to extract some data off there without really, you know, resetting the device. Like, there's just weird things that you want to do. iMazing is a great tool to do that. It's just a great tool to have. In a pinch, if you're trying to quickly get data onto a device, I mean, that's, I think, one of the things that can be a challenge. And I mean, I know this doesn't scale to like 10,000 Macs, but let's say you've got like 25 iPads you're wanting to get, you know, a group of files onto quickly. Like, you're not wanting to upload to the cloud. You're not wanting to download it. You just want to like, hey, I want these files on these devices as fast as possible. iMazing is really a great tool to do that.
Right. So that comes to a product that we launched a number of years ago, which is called iMazing Configurator, which gives you the power of MDM, but locally, and even more than MDM. So with MDM, of course, you can set policy on a device. You can set configuration. You can do it in bulk. With iMazing Configurator, you can do the same, but you can also have actions run on the device. And, you know, you touched upon files and information. MDM cannot force files into a device. MDM cannot force a backup of a device. iMazing Configurator can do that. You connect the device locally, and you can configure it. You can load the data. You can take data off. And like you mentioned, you can do it in bulk. And one of the most defining features that, you know, differentiates us from first-party tools is that you can do it, let's say, you can streamline it. You can connect device after device or have multiple devices connected to a hub. And with a touch of a button, you get all of the device provisions configured, prepared. You can even do it as you plug in a device, you know, through the port. Through the USB port, you just plug in the device and a blueprint gets applied to the device right away.
So we've got iMazing, which is, you know, again, ultimate device, you know, syncing management tool. It kind of gives you the power that you used to have with iTunes. We've got iMazing Configurator, which is a great way to, you know, kind of do some local MDM things on a device. And again, I'm thinking of too, like you could even set up ad hoc fleets, like you're doing some quick things. What is, and I see something on your website, and I've not seen this before, phone evidence for macOS and Windows. What is this device or this app?
This episode of Apple at Work is sponsored by Muzzle. Deploying, managing, and protecting Apple devices at work shouldn't be difficult or require several solutions. Muzzle is the only Apple unified platform for business. By combining enhanced device management, endpoint security, internet privacy and security, single sign-on, and enhanced app management into a single Apple-only platform, businesses can now easily and automatically deploy, manage, protect their Apple devices automatically with one solution at an affordable price. With a solution for every business size and the best support in the market, start a free 30-day trial and see firsthand why Mozilla is more than an Apple MDM. Mozilla is everything you need to work with Apple. To learn more, visit business.mozilla.com. That's business.mosyle.com. Thanks to Mozilla for sponsoring Apple at Work this week.
It's not particularly an app. It's more of a use case. I mentioned that traditionally we were more consumer-centered, and in the recent years, we're more and more growing into B2B. One of the popular use cases is with lawyers. And, in certain contexts of litigation, you need access to browsing history or messages or call history. And iMessage has been recently gaining a lot of popularity with lawyers because it allows you to take basically the data that you already have on your device and extract it in a way that's presentable, to a judge. And we've done a lot of work to make it, to format it. For example, if you want to take out messages, to format the messages, to make them, presentable or submittable in court. We've worked with lawyers. We got a lot of feedback on how to improve it. And specifically the plan that's called iMazing Phone Evidence, which is, by the way, this term is a little bit outdated right now. It's just a simple device license for that we sell to businesses that a lawyer, let's say, can purchase for a client, send them the license with instructions on how to download iMazing, and they can then at home just, extract the data from their device, extract the messages that they need for the litigation, and send it back to their lawyer. They don't even have to come to the lawyer's office. And one thing that's very important to mention is that everything that we do is voluntarily, which means that there is no way to use iMazing without a backup password and without a PIN code to get this data. So it's your data. You're in control of it. iMazing just lets you have better control over it, better ways to extract it, to take it out of your device for use for your own purposes.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's really a critical use case. There is just a lot of data on devices, and increasingly over the years, it's been, the data has been more usable in legal situations. So I think it's an incredible use case. And I think the key thing there, like you mentioned, is you package it up in an easy way that a lawyer can hand off to clients. So let's turn our attention. So again, I love some of the tools you all have. They're Swiss Army knife. Like they can do a lot of things, and in a pinch, they can do them quickly. On the business side, iMazing Profile Editor. This is a really, really, really useful tool. If you kind of want to get down in the nitty gritty of working with configuration profiles and editing them, customizing them, what's the backstory here on this product, and what's it used for today, and what are some new features? This episode of Apple at Work is sponsored by Collide. When you go through airport security, there's one line where the TSA agent checks your ID, another line where a machine scans your bag. The same thing happens in enterprise security, but instead of passengers and luggage, it's end users and their devices. But user devices can roll through authentication without getting inspected at all. In fact, 47% of companies allow unmanaged, untrusted devices to access their data. This means an employee can log in from a laptop that has a firewall turned off, hasn't been updated in 6 months, or worse, that laptop might belong to a bad actor using employee credentials. Collide finally solves the device trust problem. Collide ensures that no device can log into your Okta protected apps unless it passes your security checks. Plus, you can use Collide on devices without MDM, like your Linux fleet, contractor devices, and every BYOD phone and laptop in your company. Visit Kalai.com/Apple at Work to watch a demo and see how it works. That's Kalai.com/Apple at Work.
Sure. So first of all, it's funny that you're saying the Swiss Army knife. We are based in Switzerland, in Geneva.
Oh.
Yeah. So, and here, by the way, it's just called an army knife, obviously.
That's pretty good. Yeah, that's fair.
I was surprised. Yeah.
No, it makes sense.
The total sense, right? So, yeah, iAmazing Profile Editor was and still is a companion that we released along with iAmazing Configurator because, you know, you have a tool like iAmazing Configurator. It's great. You can configure a device, but how do you set the actual configuration, right? You need a tool that lets you create the actual profiles that you're going to load into the device. That's how iAmazing Profile Editor came to be. And to be frank, in the beginning, it was only supposed to be, you know, just this little companion tool that comes with iAmazing Configurator. It was only supposed to be for iOS devices. Somewhere along the way, we were able to collaborate with the Profile Manifests project, which can basically has manifests for many, many, many configurations, including both Apple and third-party applications, for both, you know, all four, iOS, iPadOS, macOS, and tvOS. And we've had a very, very fruitful and productive collaboration over the years with the Profile Manifest project. We're using the manifest. We're also one of the biggest contributors to the project. So all the work that we do, we contribute back for others in the community to use. And in that way, iAmazing Profile Editor kind of taken a life of its own. It's now been used, I believe, even by more Mac admins than iOS and iPadOS admins. We are very, very present on the Mac admin Slack. We have a channel there with very active discussion. And our community, you know, is also very active whenever they, you know, if there's an issue or a question or something, they always, you know, come and report to us, and we're happy to fix things right away if necessary. And something interesting has happened. I think, you know, we started by complying with the profile, let's say, specification, Apple's profiles specification. Our tool has been from day one, you know, completely compatible with Apple's configuration profiles. But the bulk of the configuration options, the manifests that exist, have a lot of, you know, weird corners and use cases where we, over the years, needed to you know, specifically get reports from our users and then fix it. I'll give you just a simple example. A lot of users like to configure managed bookmarks and managed favorites, so for Chrome and Edge. And the tech data structure for that particular property is how to put it in not too technical terms, is an array that can contain different data structures that, let's say, not every item on the array is the same structure. And that's something that we didn't know existed. And we once we got the reports that, hey, I'm trying to do that, it doesn't really work the way I want to, we implemented a fix. And, the thing that happened recently that I mentioned earlier is that recently I've noticed, I think from around version 1.7, that we no longer get those reports about, you know, oh, this is weird and this is, you know, strange. This third-party app, the configuration, you know, is not coming out as expected. So we pretty much covered all of the esoteric and strange corners of the configuration landscape, let's say. And this allows us to, you know, gives us the freedom to now start and improve and add new features and make the experience really nice. And, you know, you asked what are the things that we've announced, and I'm going to also tell you about the things that we haven't announced yet. So by the time, you know, let's say right now we're recording this, we've already released version 1.8 of iAmazing Profile Editor. And the new feature, the headline feature, is the new documentation popover. Right now, if you if you scroll along the properties that you see on the settings page, in every payload, you will see a little button, a question mark button that from, you know, from the recent version basically opens a whole cache of information that wasn't available earlier. That includes both official information and community notes that are provided by people from the community who configured those payloads before and encountered quirks and documented those. Some of the things that weren't available before and are available now are, for example, the availability table, which now in a very, very detailed way allows you to see each property, where is it available, which versions, which contexts. So, for example, device context, user context, shared iPad context, a lot of information that was just not, you know, available in the app before. And I've got to be honest, I've got to give credit here to Apple for releasing the device management repository, which is open source, and we're in addition to Profile Manifest, which we relied on in the past, now we're also relying on that repository. So credit where it's due. And you know what was a pleasant surprise for me about that?
What's that?
When, you know, to launch this popover feature, I got to do a lot of work with the with that repository, and as you do with everything, you from time to time you find maybe you know a little documentation mistake or an issue or something that that's not quite how it's supposed to be, and of course you know we report these things to Apple, but I'm telling you the enterprise and education team are so quick to respond to these reports, and I'm not saying quick as like, oh, thank you, we'll take a look. I'm saying to fix. The last time I reported them something, I saw the fix within days.
Well, you know, something. I feel like there's something interesting happening on the enterprise side at a lot of companies that, you know, in the there's a lot of push on the consumer side of like AI chatbot customer service things. Like, you know, everywhere you go, it's kind of like, don't let me talk to somebody. You know, nobody wants you to talk to them on a mm-hmm. on a B2C side. It's like very expensive, but on the enterprise side, it just feels like every business is realizing, like businesses don't want to deal with that stuff. Like they want help, and they want help from people, and they want guidance from people. And you know, I think especially you know Apple's enterprise team is you know they obviously want to grow their business. They grow it in a different way than. You do on the consumer side. I mean, you know, one of the ways you especially expand Apple fleets at an organization is not with like cheaper devices. It's with better overall service. And so I think the team at Apple, you know, from like that does hardware and networking support, software support, all the things, but also even up, you know, to the team that works on device management protocols, like they're kind of laser focused. And I think that's been one of the side benefits of Apple getting into the device management ecosystem and like, you know, having a, you know, a tool that's maybe not competing against a lot of the companies, but like on the low end, they're certainly wanting to be an option, but they have to dog food everything. And so that, you know, if it doesn't work on Apple Business Essentials, it might not work on, you know, a Mosel or an Adagy. And so Apple's team, I think, has become much more like, hey, we have to make this work because we have to make it work internally too.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with that. And, you know, we've been trying to do the same with our presence on Mac Admin Slack. But for us as a small company, it's much easier. I bet for a big company, you know, the reason I'm telling you is because it is refreshing and I'm really happy about it. And, you know, I'm going to use this podcast to say thanks. This is definitely something that businesses expect. And you can't when you have mass amounts of users dependent on you, you can't just wait for, you know, a problem to be solved, for a problem to first reach the right team, and then, you know, maybe they'll schedule they'll prioritize it somewhere. You just can't. There's so many users that are dependent on you. It has to be fixed as soon as possible.
Well, you're not in a situation we don't get the benefits of like technology being integrated into our work, like every bit of our work. You don't get the benefits of that without the responsibility. So it's like if there's like a major, hey, something's broken, it's like you can't tell a customer like, hey, I'm sorry, your 400 employees are down. We'll fix it in a week. Yeah. Like that doesn't, like if you needed to fix it in a minute. Like that's the reality. In some ways, everything to do with technology is mission critical. And again, the more complicated an IT network gets, the more reality that is. One of the things I was thinking about, oftentimes an organization, you know, it maybe runs into like, okay, there's a weird edge case with these two profiles working together. Do you see any customers kind of saying, okay, we're going to try to figure out, is this a problem with the MDM spec? Is this a problem with my MDM provider? Is this a problem with my profile configurations? Do they just like take these profiles locally, try to make them, you know, try to recreate the problem locally? And it's much easier to kind of test out new fixes when you're working with local profiles, because you're not having to wait on a cloud provider to say, you know, receive those, the device to check in, download it back. Like you can just push it and you know, immediately and see where the conflict is.
Right. I do see a little bit of that. But I can tell you that the biggest use case of iMessage Profile Editor is actually people who do use MDM for managing their devices. Because not only that, you know, iMessage Profile Editor really gives you, visibility into each and every property that is set on your in your profile. We specifically do not set anything that, you know, you don't do, except for maybe like, you know, a handful that are required and a payload wouldn't work without. We really, really try to keep profiles as clean as possible. And admins actually prefer that in some circumstances to the, you know, the configuration wizards on MDM vendor websites. And also, we offer way more because of our relationship with Profile Manifest. We offer way more, and every MDM vendor that allows their users to upload custom profiles is basically not only supporting us in the sense that we use the same file format, but also we hear all the time recommendations. People come to us, hey, you know, my MDM vendor recommended that I use your product. Mm-hmm. I hear that all the time. Makes me very happy. We work across all of them. And yes, we do hear some use cases of people who just try, you know, something locally and just to see if it works, and then obviously take the same profile and push it on a large scale. We also have home users to try to configure, you know, things for their home, especially parental controls, in the context of families. We don't have specific products for parental controls, of course, but we do offer the payloads for parental controls for configuration in iMessage Profile Editor. And by the way, that leads me to, you know, the point about things that we haven't released yet at this point in time when we talk, and that you asked me about it earlier. So I'll just touch about that quickly. Specifically, parental control is a very, challenging payload to configure because you have, and I'm talking about the Mac one, because you have, you need to define the apps that you want to restrict or to allow. And you do that by using the bundle ID of the app and the dreaded code requirement. And I don't know, Barley, if you had a chance to work with payloads that require code requirement or team ID or bundle ID, but they're not those information, those details are not very easy to obtain. You have to run a certain incantation on the terminal. And the number of payloads that require those details is growing. So every year, Apple introduces another payload that, you know, gives us more options to restrict or configure, but it also requires these that users enter these this information. And what we're doing in that area, in part of our effort to make using, you know, add new features to iMessage Profile Editor and make configuring apps a much better experience. We are launching, and I think by the time this airs, this will be out already. Right now, we're launching a new feature that's called the App Inspector. So if you are configuring, let's say, notifications or the PPPC payload, and you're currently writing in your configuration in Amazon Profile Editor, you don't even need to leave the app. You just choose to inspect an app. Let's say Zoom, for example. You select Zoom, and you get kind of like a report card of Zoom that tells you the bundle ID, tells you the team ID, gives you right there in your face the code requirement with a little button for copying. You don't even have to select it. You just one click and it's in your clipboard. And there's a bunch of other cool details, like, for example, is it an Apple Silicon app or an Intel app? What's the minimum macOS or iOS requirement for the app? And all of this is going to be available right in iMessage Profile Editor without ever leaving the app. And this is, you know, I don't want to reveal too much down the line, but this is stage one of how we're going to make app configuration easy. And hopefully we'll be able quite soon to even improve on that.
Very cool. Sounds like you all have had, you know, have a lot of use cases. There's a lot. I mean, it goes back to the name I give it, you know, kind of a Swiss Army knife, but there's a ton of use cases. And there's really no reason not for an Apple IT admin or even just a power user at home to have some of these tools downloaded. Because again, when you need them, when you need that kind of deeper power than you're getting day to day, again, go back to what you said in the beginning about just the ability to easily load media files onto an iOS device quickly. Again, I love everything wireless, but sometimes that you can use a cable and things are just a lot faster when you need to kind of bulk move some data. You know, just fantastic devices. So we wrap up here. Any parting words, anything you want the community to go check out?
Sure. So of course I invite everybody to download the most recent version and to check out those new features that I mentioned, but I also like to encourage people to come to MacAdmin Slack and to be part of our community and to contribute. You know, the Profile Manifest is open source. If you find some configuration which is outdated or not quite right, specifically or especially with third-party apps, because we don't have the device management repository for third-party apps, I invite you to come. And these are just XML files. You can change them yourself. Our profile editor even allows you to use custom manifests, so you can do it easily on your machine and then submit, you know, on the GitHub website. And we've had a lot of people doing that recently, even more, but I'd still want to encourage everybody to participate and do that. It's just wonderful how the community is working, and I'd like to see more of that.
Sweet. Awesome. Well, thanks for coming on the show. Thanks for spending some time. I know it's a Monday, so thanks for taking some time. We'll have links in the show notes, everything you can download. Again, thanks for being a part of the Mac admins community, you know, the official Slack community, but also just the community in general. I think, companies that build useful tools to make it easier for Apple fleet managers to do their jobs better. That's a win for the entire community. So again, thanks for what you are building, and thanks for taking the time to come on the show and talk about it. And we'll talk to you soon.